God. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them up to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. I made the comment, I sent it out on text and on Facebook. I said, this may be one of the most powerful and important messages that I'll ever preach. This is something that Christians have to understand. You have to understand it if you're going to walk in victory on this earth. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Hello, somebody. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now go with me real quick. Just turn the page, a couple pages there, to Mark chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. Setting this thing up here. Mark 1, 21 through 22. It says, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he, Jesus, entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having, underline it, authority, not as the scribes. Say authority. Authority. The earthly ministry of Jesus was absolutely amazing. I mean, just the very small fraction that we read about in the Gospels, in the Word of God, is so powerful and filled with such wisdom and awe. Amen? But there was one characteristic that stood out to the people about Jesus. One very, very important characteristic that caught their attention, that gripped their heart. And that was this. Are you ready? The level of authority that he taught, walked, and ministered in on this earth. Say authority. Jesus walked in kingdom authority on this earth and in his earthly ministry. And we as his ambassadors, representatives, his disciples, we should be doing that exact same thing on this earth. In other words, what I'm trying to say is this. That characteristic that they saw in Jesus about the authority he was walking in, that should be noticeable in us as Christians, everywhere we go and minister on this earth. Say authority. Jesus' message was about the kingdom of God. He came to preach the kingdom. Amen? Amen? The kingdom of God is the reign, the rulership of God on this earth. He was proclaiming this, that on earth as it is in heaven, experience was available to all that put their faith in him. Amen? Amen? Jesus was declaring the gospel or the good news. This is the good news. Are you ready? Let's break it down. The good news of the gospel is this, that the curse that Adam and Eve allowed on this earth was getting reversed through faith in Jesus, the second Adam. Now, there is one final enemy that needs to be destroyed. Death. Say death. The Ecclesiastes even talks about there is a time. There is a time. We all have a time, right? There is a time. But so that is the final thing to be conquered. But Jesus did reverse the curse, right? And he was basically doing this. He was restoring or bringing restoration back to God's original intent for mankind in many different areas of our life. Amen? In fact, there's not one area of your life that salvation does not touch through Jesus Christ. So we as Christians, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are expected to walk in that same authority. Say authority. On this earth. We are expected to continue and declare that message and release the power of God on this earth. Look at John chapter 14. Isn't that interesting? They said, they noticed the difference. He said, boy, he walks in an authority, not like the scribes. Well, let me point something out that the Holy Spirit illuminated to me when I read it. You know what set him apart? The Holy Ghost baptism. He was ministering after receiving the Holy Spirit baptism. Remember, Jesus got baptized in water. He came out, and it says the Holy Spirit came what? Upon him. Like that was the Jesus was getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. So there should be. There should be a difference between a Holy Ghost baptized Christian and one that's like a scribe, like a philosopher. No, there should be a noticeable characteristic of the authority. And that's what the Holy Ghost baptism gives you, to walk in that power. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. John 14, 12. We're not playing patty cake here at Living Waters Chapel. Amen? Listen to this. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. So Jesus made it very clear that we are to continue with his works. He even says greater works. Now, there's a debate whether that's, well, greater than what Jesus did, or is it greater in number? And I don't know. All I'm saying, Jesus said we're going to do greater works because of this reason. He was sending the Holy Spirit. So it's not just him anymore. It's the whole body of Christ that continues on with the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. He didn't expect it to stop when he went into heaven. You understand that, right? So Jesus goes on to say, whatever we ask in his name, anything within the boundaries of the written word of God, anything, I like to think of it this way, anything that Jesus would ask his heavenly Father for, he said he would do it. Amen. That we would receive an answer to those prayers. I read in a book today in God Chasers, Tommy Tenney, I opened it up, and it says, the more we die, the closer we get to God. We got to die to our flesh. We got to die to our fleshly desires. Amen? How many of you want to be closer to the Lord? Well, you got to die. There needs to be a death of that flesh nature. Amen? So before you pray for something, ask yourself this. Will this bring glory to Jesus? If it brings glory to Jesus, then it's going to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. Because Jesus said, if you bring glory to me, it's being transferred to the Father as well. You see that chain of command there? Oh, get ready. We're going to go much deeper. Get ready. We are a continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth. We are an extension of the ministry of Jesus Christ on this earth. It was never meant to end when Jesus left this earth. Amen? Every Christian, listen to me, that receives the Holy Spirit baptism, they receive power. And Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon. See, when you got born again, he comes within. When you receive the Holy Spirit baptism, he comes upon. Amen? That word power is the Greek word dunamis, as many of you know. It's where we get our English word dynamite. Say dynamite. If you want to be a stick of dynamite, you better receive the Holy Ghost baptism. Amen? Yeah. Now, here's what power means, because there's authority and there's power. All right? The word power is referring to this, a supernatural ability. A supernatural ability. The Holy Spirit adds the supernatural aspect to our ability on this earth. Amen? I like to say it this way. The Holy Spirit adds a supernatural ability to our authority. The power of the Holy Spirit, or the ability of the Holy Spirit in us, in our life, makes our authority through Jesus Christ more effective. See, every Christian has authority, but not every Christian is walking in the power because they haven't received the Holy Spirit baptism, right? That's not a charismatic, word of faith, Pentecostal thing. It's a Bible thing. It's in the Word. Amen? If it's not in the Word, I wouldn't be preaching it right now. Amen. So what he's trying to say is it produces, when you receive that power from the Holy Spirit, it will produce greater, it will produce miraculous results, more than you will ever do on your own, in your flesh. So can you see why the kingdom of darkness wants to keep Christians ignorant? That word ignorant means they want to lack knowledge about the benefits, about the ability through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Now, let's talk about authority. Here we go. Authority and power are different, okay? Again, power is an ability, all right? Supernatural ability we're talking about. Authority is defined as this: the legal right to give orders, to make decisions, or to enforce obedience. All right? Now, some Bible translations use the word power where authority should be used. That's the importance of doing word studies. Find out what that Greek word is that's being used. Because there's two. There's exousia, which means authority. And then there's dunamis, which means power. And it's important to figure out what one it is. Amen? Jesus has given us Christians spiritual authority on this earth. Now, that spiritual authority is to be used against the kingdom of darkness and anything. Here's what the Holy Spirit said. Are you ready for this? That spiritual authority through Jesus is to be used against anything that's attached to the curse on this earth, or anything that would try to harm or negatively affect your life on this earth. That's what the name of Jesus, the authority in his name, that's what is to be used for, all right? Now, spiritual authority is used as an offensive weapon. Say offensive. As she pointed out, it is football season, right? Spiritual authority in the life of a Christian is an offensive weapon, all right? Using our God-given authority through the name of Jesus, through the word of God. It's an offensive weapon. Now listen to me. It's an offensive weapon because it causes us to advance the kingdom of God, the rulership of God, the reign of God in our lives personally, in other people's lives, and wherever we go. That's why we're gaining ground for the kingdom. When you pray for someone, you're gaining ground for the kingdom of God in their life. When you cast out a demon, you're taking ground away, come on, from the kingdom of darkness and replacing it with the rule and reign of God in that place. When you walk in obedience to God, you're advancing and gaining ground for the kingdom of God. Are you seeing how spiritual authority is an offensive weapon then, right? Now, I want to show you something. This was powerful. I wrote this down. It came to me after I wrote this message. Listen to this. The enemy, the kingdom of darkness, operates in power as well. Did you know that? There is a power that demons and Satan, the kingdom of darkness, they operate in, right? At one time, they were in heaven. Hello. So when they got sent to earth, they still operate in a power, all right? Now, here's what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. When Moses threw down the rod, right? And it turned into a snake. You remember that account? The magicians did the same thing. Moses did it and it turned to snake. The magicians did it and the same thing happened. Hello? Why? Because it's demonic. Hello? Anybody there? Hello? 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 Answer it. They need to talk to you. I'm not bothered. I'm not mad. Listen. The magicians did the same thing. Because they operate in a level of power also. Just not Holy Spirit power. Not the power of God, right? But what ended up happening is this. Is that Moses' rod that turned into a snake ended up consuming the snakes that the magician, or the rods or the snakes that the magicians threw down. Amen? This reveals that not only is the power of God greater, but it reveals, here, this is what the Holy Spirit said and how it ties into what I'm talking about. It reveals the authority over the kingdom of darkness. Both had power, but the kingdom of darkness did not have authority over that other snake. Hello, somebody. Our authority through Jesus Christ is greater than the power or ability of the kingdom of darkness. By the way, you all know that Moses was a type of Jesus Christ, right? As a deliverer. He was a type. So we as Christians have authority and power. The enemy has no authority. That's why we can steamroll the kingdom of darkness. Hello, somebody. Now, here we go. So it causes us, when we use spiritual authority, it causes us to gain back real estate in our life, in the lives of others, for the kingdom of God. It kicks out the kingdom of darkness and replaces it with the kingdom of God, or the fruit of the kingdom of God. Now, here's what you got to know. It's not an earthly authority in the natural realm, such as a judge or a police officer. Hello? Oh, no. This authority that Jesus gave us is much more powerful than that. Why do I say that? Because Jesus has given us an authority. Now, you gotta tune in. Say, I'm tuning in. Here's why it's different and more powerful. Because Jesus has given us authority that deals with the root of every problem, and that is the spiritual root. Hello? Remember what I talked about last week? Everything has a spiritual root. That is why Jesus was always reminding his disciples and us, his people, in the Word of God, that all things are possible with God. Why? Because he's given us the keys to the kingdom that deals with the root of a problem, not just the fruit. Amen. See, earthly authority, like a judge or a police officer, what are they doing? They're dealing with the fruit of that junk, right? No. But we as Christians, we can go to the root and change and shift a situation. Amen? So to be effective at using our God-given authority, we must look beyond the surface of a situation. Beyond. We need to go deeper than the fruit of what's going on. If the devil can get you hung up on the fruit, he's got you distracted, and things will never change in a situation. Now, listen to this. In other words, 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health just as your soul prospers," right? See, when I approach someone who needs a healing, the sickness, the disease, it's a fruit. But tell me a little bit what's in your soul. Come on. Tell me a little bit about what's going on in your life. What kind of things are going on in your mind, on the inside? What kind of thoughts are you giving place to? What's going on the inside? Because it says here, if your soul's prospering, it can shift the outward. Amen? So I want to give some examples. Let's talk more about this. I want to give you some accounts in the Word of God here that I think will be a blessing to you. So to understand the concept of spiritual authority and the connection to the natural realm, it's a must that you have to understand one of my favorite passages. Go to Mark chapter 11. You have to understand. You have to get an understanding of Mark chapter 11, 20 through 24. You have to. I'll tell you why in a moment. Hallelujah. I love this passage. Mark 11, 20 through 24. It says, "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, to Jesus, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God,'" or Jesus, that literally says, have the God kind of faith. All right? Speak to it. "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, this passage, whether you know it or not, this passage is talking about our spiritual authority. Jesus was teaching us about spiritual authority here. And this is a practical example of spiritual authority. And one major way spiritual authority is released is by our spoken words with faith attached to them. Amen? Spiritual authority must be released through our earth suit for it to affect and impact or shift the natural realm. Let me say that one more time. This is getting deeper. I mean, but this is disciple stuff. This is what you need to know if you want to be a disciple. We're going beyond the Jesus loves you. Come on. Amen? We need to teach the principles of the kingdom of God. Amen? Spiritual authority must be released through your earth suit, through your something, through your physical body, for it to impact or shift the natural realm. Why? Because our physical body is what makes us legal on this earth. Demons can't even do anything unless they're given permission through a person. Are you following me? That's why weird things happen when people play with Ouija boards. Hello. Because they're given permission. And then someone says, well, man, I'm sitting in the living room, and all of a sudden in the kitchen, things just start moving around. Well, you gave them permission by giving in your thought life and what you're speaking, you're given permission to demons to enter and affect the natural realm. That's a poltergeist spirit, right? So listen to this. The words must be spoken through your physical body, through your vocal cords. Listen to me. Our physical body, again, makes us legal to operate and impact this natural realm. That's why the best that demons can do, the best that even the Holy Spirit can do, hello, is try to influence you to cooperate with them. Oh, you didn't get it. Okay, how can you say that? How can? Because it's a biblical principle. That's why the Holy Spirit's the helper, not the doer. In other words, your free will's got to be connected to him for his will to be accomplished on this earth. Amen? Now, so that is why some kind of action must be released through our physical body. Okay, someone might say, well, what if someone's not able to talk or do anything? You want to know what the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance? When the friends brought the lame man and put him through the roof to Jesus. It says this. Get this now. He said Jesus saw. Not that guy's faith who was in the, laying down. It said Jesus saw the faith of the friends. Oh, come on, somebody. Sometimes we got to transfer our faith for our friends. Think about that. So you don't have faith? Carry mine, baby. Think about this. That's why don't ever give up in prayer for someone. That's why there's no such thing as a hopeless situation on this earth. You could be the answer to someone's prayer. Again, it took an action. It took an action. Wow, let that soak in. Jesus said, the Word of God says that Jesus saw their faith, the friend's faith. Wow. Now, that's a good friend, by the way. That's the friends I want to have, baby. Yes, amen. Amen. Get rid of all those jive turkeys that aren't bringing you closer to Jesus. They should be the ones. Come on, they should be the ones when you say, I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like going to that healing service. I don't feel like going to this, that, and that. That they should be the ones that pick you up and bring you. No, you're going.
That's right.
You're going. Where are those friends? Where are they? Amen? And you got to give those friends access in your life to do that, by the way. Hallelujah. Now, so prayer, for example, is verbal. Say verbal. To receive an answer on earth, prayer must be verbalized. I said prayer must be verbalized. Hello, somebody. Anywhere Jesus talked about prayer, anywhere prayer is talked about, I don't see anything about silent prayer in there. Now, there's meditative prayer to where you're having a conversation with the Lord. But if you need something shifted in a situation, something earthly, it better come out of your mouth, because that's what makes you legal on this earth. Are you getting this? In fact, just start thinking about this now. Silent prayer is an oxymoron. You know, I know what an oxymoron is. It's two words that are opposite of each other. Silent thunder, silent prayer. Come on. Again, there's meditative. You can have a conversation with the Lord in your head. But if you want something shifted, if you're looking to receive, it better come out of your mouth. Amen? So Jesus said that we could speak to mountains. Now, mountains, now, there's this whole debate, you know, flesh kind of gets in the way of this whole thing, right? Well, of course, he's got to be talking about situations. Surely we couldn't move a mountain. Really? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about that, because I've heard testimonies of TBN when there was a mountain that was in the way of the transmission when they first started. It wouldn't come in because Mount Wilson was in the way. And the Holy Spirit led Paul Crouch to say, "Mountain, I command you to move in the name of Jesus." And all of a sudden, it came in. Now, so here's what happens. Our fleshly religious things, we want to kind of numb this down and say, oh, he's just talking about situations. Surely nothing physical. But I don't know, because when Jesus said that, I almost, when I read that, I picture him pointing to a mountain. If you speak unto this mountain, it will be removed and cast into the sea. If you don't doubt in your heart and believe what you say, right? Because he said it in connection to, listen, speaking to a physical fig tree. He cursed a fig tree. This wasn't a figment of his imagination. This was a literal fig tree, a physical thing that he spoke to and commanded and cursed it. It was so mind-blowing that the disciples said, "Jesus, look what you spoke to yesterday." Jesus is like, "Yeah, I know, right?" I mean, but so Jesus spoke to physical objects. He spoke to things in the natural realm. And he didn't think, listen to me, he didn't think it was strange at all. If you're going to walk, by the way, the message of, or the title of my message is Walking in Kingdom Authority. Walking in Kingdom Authority. If you and I are going to walk in Kingdom Authority, that better not be strange to you either. I heard one, let me just throw this out. This is interesting. I heard one minister say something very interesting about why Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said, what if that, what the fig tree, a fig, was the fruit that Eve ate? And he cursed it. Showing his rulership over the curse that entered through. Oh my goodness. I mean, I don't know, but wow, that would make sense to me. Amen. So walking in kingdom authority means that you believe the words, the commands that you're speaking without doubting in your heart. You know the authority that's contained in your spoken words. Words are containers. All words contain authority. But what's with that authority depends on what you're speaking, blessing or cursing. So what's in that container you've been speaking? Think about it. You believe that when you speak, a Christian that's walking in kingdom authority, you believe that when you speak something or a situation, you believe something's going to happen. Something's going to shift with kingdom results. Well, I've never seen a mountain move. Probably because you don't have faith for it. Jesus made it very clear. If you speak to something and you have pure faith, it's going to obey. We got to get out of our religious mindset, out of our human mindset. We are spiritual beings, and we need to start acting like it. Get rid of all limitations right now. I wanted to bring up this passage, Mark 11, first, so that it lays a solid foundation on the inside of your belief system to believe that it's not strange at all to speak to objects, to situations in the natural realm. Are you there? Yep. You following me? You with me? You're picking up what I'm laying down now? Yes. As a disciple of Jesus Christ, we have to know that. All right? So those faith-filled spoken words are shifting, not the outward fruit of a situation, but rather it's going beyond that to the spiritual aspect or root of a thing. This, listen to this. This is what the Holy Spirit, it came to me so clear. He said this: when you're speaking to something in faith, you are literally going to the quantum level of that thing. Say quantum. That's the level you can't see. You want to know what the quantum level is? The spiritual root. Oh, come on. So it's going to the unseen aspect of a thing, that spiritual root. Go with me to Mark chapter 4. I want to show you something here. See, I'm preaching some meat today. Right? You might be choking a little bit. That's okay. Cough a little bit. Cough a little bit, but put it back in your mouth. Keep chewing. I'm not going to lead you in the wrong way here. This is the word. That's why I give the word on it. Amen? Mark 4, 35 through 41. Look at this. On the same day when the evening had come, he, Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Jesus and his disciples got into a boat to cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And it says, as I read, a very strong windstorm arose. The waves were beating against the boat, that even water was coming into the boat. So it was obviously a very stressful situation in the natural realm, right? But Jesus literally rebuked. You can't rebuke without saying something. You rebuke by speaking. Amen? Jesus literally spoke to the windstorm and said, "Peace, be still," and it obeyed him. And here's what you got to know. We have that same authority. This is what the Holy Ghost said. You have the same authority over storms, over the weather, if you believe what you're saying. If you believe what you're saying. Most of the time we don't believe, because why? When we're rebuking a tornado, we're in a state of fear. Come on, somebody. The million-dollar question is this, that's always talked about in connection to this. Was it the kingdom of darkness? Was it the enemy, this storm caused by? Or was it a natural storm that just arose? And the answer is this. Are you ready for the answer? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Jesus still had authority over it, whether it was the enemy or if it was a natural storm. Because everything in the natural realm has a spiritual root. And Jesus gave us spiritual authority. I do find it interesting, though. Here's kind of some evidence that it might point to, it might bend the enemy. I do find it interesting that Jesus ministered to a demon-possessed man once they got to the other side. So, considering that fact, could have been the enemy trying to stop Jesus from going to the other side to set that demon-possessed man free. I don't know, but here's where you got to be with it. Who cares what started it? Jesus spoke to it and it stopped. Plain and simple, right? Some things just don't matter to argue about, right? Remember, Jesus taught us in Mark 11, which we read, that we would have whatever we say if we believe without doubting in our heart what we are saying. So we got to follow the instructions in the operator's manual. B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, right? So Jesus obviously then believed in his heart. He believed in his heart that what he was saying to that windstorm was going to stop it, right? So Jesus, listen to this. Jesus could release peace in the storm because he had peace in his heart. In fact, he had so much peace, the guy was asleep in the back of the boat. As water's coming in, as this thing's shaking all over the place. And here's what the Holy Spirit said. Jesus spoke to that storm from a position of peace, not of anxiety or fear. Oh, my. Jesus, oh man, I just felt a wave of the presence of God hit me when I said that. Let me say it again. Jesus spoke from a heart position of peace, not anxiety or fear. Jesus even rebuked his disciples after calming the storm. And he said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? So Jesus revealed a key that we're very thankful for. Thank you, Jesus, for revealing this so we could know what not to do. Jesus revealed they had no faith, but they were fearful or full of faith. And here's the thing. It's impossible for fear and faith to operate at the same time. And here's why. Are you ready? You want to know this answer? Why fear and faith can't operate at the same time? Because it's a matter of focus. Say focus. It's impossible to focus on two things at one time. Oh, yeah, I know, you might be a good multitasker, but it's still not your complete focus when you got multi things going. Hello, amen? It's impossible. Jesus said, you can't love God and money at the same time. Hello? Because one's going to take your focus. It's impossible to focus on two things at one time. The best case scenario when there's two things that you're presented with is that you're going to have 50-50. And here's the problem with that. Are you ready? Faith that moves mountains requires 100% of your focus, or else you will not get the results you're looking for. Faith that moves mountains. Faith, come on. Faith that commands demons to leave. Faith that commands sickness and disease to leave. It requires 100% of your focus on the Lord. That is why Peter began to sink when he took his focus off of Jesus and put it on the storm and on the waves. Why? Because doubt, you could say it this way, there's unbelief and doubt. Unbelief, you never believed it. Doubt is this: at one point you believed, but doubt is a temporary shift in your focus. Doubt is a temporary shift in your focus. And it puts a kink in that faith hose. Come on, somebody. It puts a kink in that faith hose. Say faith hose. Faith hose. My. Don't ever forget this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Faith requires 100% of your focus to get results from it. Faith and fear both have to do with focus. Faith is a focus on the positive of what God said or what the Word says. Fear is a focus on the fruit or the negative situation in the natural realm. That is why we are commanded in Colossians 3, 1 and 2, that I read last week probably. It's one of my favorite passages. It says to seek and to set our mind on things above. Get them off this earthly plane. Get your thoughts off this earthly plane. Amen? In other words, don't water it down. Don't dilute your focus with the natural realm. Keep it focused on the Word of God. Keep it focused. I like to say, here's what the Word says. Keep it focused on heavenly things. Well, it's real getting quiet in here right now. It's kind of spooky right now. Listen. So, I know I'm giving you a lot to chew on today. I get it. So, the problem is not that something is too big or overwhelming to shift for God to move it. Hello? Yeah. The problem is our lack of focus on heavenly things and believing what we're speaking into that situation. That's the problem. That's why God says all things are possible with Him. In other words, with His Word. Cooperating with the Holy Ghost that lives on the inside of us. Amen? Are you getting it? Oh, I'm telling you, this is disciple material right now. Amen? Jesus was basically rebuking his disciples for waking him up for something that they could have done themselves. Did you catch it? You see, we need to know our role on this earth. Jesus rebuked his disciples. Why would he rebuke them? If they wouldn't have known what to do, he wouldn't have rebuked them. Listen to me. The Holy Ghost spoke this to me in this account. He said Jesus expected them to handle it because he was teaching them about the kingdom of God and authority, and they didn't put into practice what he was teaching them. Oh, my goodness. Have you ever thought of that? Why would you're not going to rebuke someone who doesn't know what to do. You're going to rebuke someone that knows better. Jesus was with his 12. What was he doing? They were getting together, and he was always teaching about the kingdom of God. He was teaching about authority. That's why Jesus got ticked off. Right. What are you waking me up for? I've been ministering all day. Right. You guys should have been handling this. Are you picking that up? So you could say it this way. They were too focused on the problem and not the solution. You got to start focusing on the solution before the solution manifests in the natural realm. Put the solution first. All the other stuff is just earthly details. Amen? Focus on the solution. Mouth's getting a little dry. Focus on the solution, not the problem. Amen? Thank you. Now, I ain't done yet. But wait, there's more. The solution to the problem was available to them, listen, if they would have shifted their focus to a spiritual mindset. But fear influenced and shifted it to the negative. Fear and faith is a matter of focus. That's it. You will hear, you know what? Every sermon, I'm going to use the word focus. Because don't hold me to it, but I'm trying to get a point across. It's so important, our focus. You know what? As I was growing up, I never heard a sermon that talked about our focus. But it's such a spiritual key to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? If you're going to walk in kingdom authority, you must learn to master your focus. You must learn to master your focus, your thought life, and emotions. You must learn. If those three things are out of order, your focus, thought life, and emotions, if any of those three are out of order, you will be overtaken by the enemy, by the kingdom of darkness. You will literally become a slave to the kingdom of darkness. Now look at 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. You getting anything out of this? Now listen to this. Wow, I don't want to send you guys away hungry now. Come on. Listen. Well, I do want to send you out hungry, but I want to fill you up with something. You get my point. Okay, now. 2 Timothy 1:7. Hungry for more of the things of God, right? 2 Timothy 1:7. We all know it, mostly, right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, right? So, we've heard it so much, many people just kind of tune it out when they hear it, because like, yeah, I know what that says. But listen to this. So we have a choice to have a focus that's rooted in fear, or we have a choice to be rooted in faith. Amen? Amen? In the problem, we can either focus on the problem or the solution, right? I'm talking about walking in kingdom authority today. So God is revealing to us that any influence to shift our focus to anything other than faith in him is in fact the influence of a demonic spirit of fear. Do you know we're getting influenced by the spirit realm all the time? There's an influence from the spirit realm from both kingdoms all the time. Fear is false evidence appearing real, all right, compared to spiritual reality of what the word says. Hello, amen? A Christian walking in kingdom authority is connected to the Holy Spirit's influence and connected to the Word of God. You agree with that? Thank you, you two, whoever said that. I don't know. Okay. A Christian walking in, are you guys hot in here? Is it just me? Okay. Good to know. Thank you very much. A Christian walking in kingdom authority is connected to spiritual reality. He's connected to spiritual truth, not earthly facts. Now, we don't deny the facts. Hello, amen, can I talk to you? We don't deny earthly facts. We just don't focus on them. We know the facts. We know what's going on in your body. We know what's going on in this situation in your life. We know it. We're not dumb to it, right? But we're not focused on it. God says that he has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. God has given us the Holy Spirit that will influence us in those three things. But it's up to us by our own free will to go with the flow of that influence. You want to know why? We're not robots. We have a choice to make. We gotta yield. We gotta give in to that pressure. We gotta give in to that influence of the Holy Ghost. Amen? So all three of those things, power, love, and a sound mind, they all have to do with your focus. Did you know that? Power, love, and a sound mind. Power, that's the word dunamis, from the Holy Spirit. That's power from the Holy Spirit, not from our own human ability. The Holy Spirit will give us supernatural ability to focus if we will lean into Him. Amen? Love. The Holy Spirit will help align our intents and motives with the heart of God. And that takes focus. Amen? So that we can believe and speak confidently to the storms in our life. You know, the Word says that faith works by love. Amen? Our focus gets sharper when we walk and stay within the boundaries of love. Did you know that? A positive focus works by love. There's no fear in love. Hello? There's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. It's talking about your focus. The Holy Spirit said this to me. A lack of love in your life, in the life of a Christian, a lack of love will invite confusion into your life. It will blur the spiritual vision. And it will hinder us from truly focusing on spiritual things. That's why faith works by love. Because if you stay walking in love, it's going to keep you focused on the spiritual aspect of things. Doesn't it take a spiritual aspect to walk in love toward your enemies? Hello? Right? So be sure to walk in love. Now, and it says here that the Holy Spirit will give us a sound mind. Say sound mind. The Holy Spirit will help us stay in a place or position of peace, even through the storms of life. Amen? And that will help us to focus on the Word of God and not give place to the distractions of that storm. Okay? Now, here's what I want to tell you about sound mind. There's two Greek words that are translated sound and mind. Sound mind means this. The first word that means sound means safe. Say safe. And the second word means the mind. So it means a safe mind. Say safe mind. Safe mind. It means the qualities of self-control and self-disciplined thinking or disciplined thought life in your life. A disciplined thought life. Safe and mind. Because when you get outside the boundaries of the word, now your mind's not safe. Amen? So the Holy Spirit will help us with that, with power, love, and a sound mind. I'm almost done. A sound mind is a mind that is full of peace. Faith operates from a position of peace. Your faith has to operate from a position of peace. A sound mind sees the answer. It sees the positive. It sees the answer through the storm. Amen? Faith is like our radar. You know, if I'm flying up to Mackinac Island and I have radar and I can see, oh, here's a sucker hole I can go through. We call it a sucker hole through this storm. Don't do it. You probably shouldn't. But many people do. Your faith is that radar that allows you to see beyond that storm. Amen? So we must learn. Here's what I want to say. We must learn to pray and make confessions of the word from a position of peace and not of fear. I got to drive that home, all right? That's why our spoken words, our commands, are ineffective. Because many of them, are spoken from a place of fear and anxiety. That don't work. The spirit realm picks that up. Amen. They know. Spirit realm knows. Both kingdoms, they know. If you're coming from a position of fear, anxiety, or from faith, they know it. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says this. It tells us to be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication is extended times of heartfelt prayer. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, be anxious for nothing. I looked up the Greek word that's translated nothing. You want to know what that means? Nothing! I love doing that to you guys. That's my way of saying, duh. We don't have to read beyond it. It says what it says, right? So peace is released in your heart in proportion to your focus on God and your heartfelt communication with Him. So we want to make sure we maintain that communication. Amen? Jesus maintained peace because he made prayer to His Heavenly Father. Here's Jesus's secret to success. He made prayer to His Heavenly Father a lifestyle, a routine, not an emergency escape. Amen. Hello. How many times have we used God as an emergency escape? Right? We ignore Him. We ignore Him throughout the day. We ignore Him for a week. We're doing our own thing, and we run to Him. But follow the directions in the book. Maintain that communication with Him. And then nothing will catch you off guard. And then you'll have that peace. Then you're in a position of peace when you make that command. It's in a position of peace and not fear and anxiety. Amen? So Jesus maintained that peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind or creative imagination is stayed on you. So that is a sound or a safe mind whose mind is stayed. Your thoughts are focused on God, not on the storm, not on the situation, on Him. That's when perfect peace. Perfect peace will only come when your focus is on God and His word through that storm. Your mind, your thought patterns must be stayed on. It must be locked in on the Lord. Amen? And part of being locked in on is prayer. Right? If you're keeping Him in your thought life, you're going to want to talk to Him. You're going to want to have a communication with Him, right? All right? So if you're going to walk in kingdom authority like Jesus did, you will have to, by the way, confront demons and cast demons out like Jesus did. Real quick, go to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. I'm talking about walking in kingdom authority. Amen? Mark 9. Verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes at the teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Man, they're having some problems with storms, now with demons. What's going on here, guys? Are they learning anything? Come on, right? You'll see, Jesus is upset about it. He answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Again, Jesus would not have gotten upset if they couldn't have handled it themselves. Come on. Then they brought him to him. And Jesus saw him. Immediately the spirit, the demon, convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him." So there's a suicidal spirit at work here, obviously, too. "But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us, compassion on us and help us." Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." You either believe that or not, right? Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus, there's something to that too, by the way. The son's deliverance didn't ride on the father's faith. The father did his part by bringing him to Jesus. Hello? When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. My goodness. So a father and a son, they have some major spiritual issues going on, don't they? Major demonic. A demon in that child caused him to foam at the mouth, to seize up, like epileptic kind of things, right? He became rigid. It threw him down, tried to throw him in the fire. I mean, this was not the kid. This was the demon spirit influencing and acting through this kid, right? How many of you know the enemy's mission is to steal, kill, and to destroy? Amen? Anything with those three things attached to it, the devil's fingerprints are all over it. Most people, listen to this. You got to listen to me now. Most people would slap a secular diagnosis on it and give the child medication. But his father in Jesus saw beyond the physical, beyond the fruit, and said, this is a spiritual problem. Think about this now. Bravo to that father. Amen? Everything, again, everything has a spiritual root. You cannot eliminate the spiritual aspect. And if you try, you will never solve the spiritual problem. Amen? So a kingdom-minded Christian that is walking in kingdom authority is always thinking about the spiritual aspect and connection to a problem. If there's a problem that comes up, the first thing you should think of is, what's the spiritual root here? Don't get caught up in the natural fruit. Amen. Ask God, God, what is the spiritual root here? All right? So Jesus talked to, he rebuked fevers, he rebuked sicknesses, he rebuked diseases, as if it was a demonic spirit. And guess what? Many times it was. Oh, it's really getting quiet now. I didn't say everything's a demon. But there's a lot of examples in here to where it was a demonic spirit in the physical body or the soul of a person that caused these things. See, they didn't have the pharmacy to go to. Oh, come on, somebody. Yeah, well, things are different now when Jesus... Well... We're still humans. This is still the earth that Jesus walked on. It's the same spiritual and natural laws on this earth. Hello, somebody. I wonder how many things are demonic that we're slapping a Band-Aid over in the flesh. Think about it. Just think. I'm just giving you some food for thought. That's all. Amen? Jesus was walking always with a spiritual mindset in kingdom authority. And quickly, my last one here is Mark 7. Mark 7. Mark chapter 7, 32 through 35. Okay, my second to last. Just hang on, all right? Mark 7, 32 through 35. Hey, I don't come and bother you at work, do I? whatever. All right, you guys don't want to play today. I get it. There's some Sundays you play, sometimes you can't. I get it, right? Okay, here we go. I thought, hey, it's a holiday weekend. Maybe they'll want to play. Okay, here we go. Mark 7, 32 through 5. Listen to this. Then they brought him, Jesus, who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. All right, Jesus spoke to it. All right, immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed. And he spoke plainly. So Jesus spoke to, what my point is I want to get across, is that Jesus spoke to body parts. He spoke to organs in faith. Jesus was getting information of how to minister to each person from the Holy Spirit, right? He said he only did what he's seen his Father do. The Holy Spirit was showing him how to handle each case. Sometimes, here's what you got to understand. Sometimes the Holy Spirit may have you to minister to someone, come on, in an unconventional way. A Christian minister by the name of Smith Wigglesworth was known for that. He would sometimes slap or punch tumors on people, and they would immediately dissolve or fall off a person. Now, I'm not telling you to go do that. That better be the Holy Ghost telling you to do that, not me, right? And it wasn't the most exactly polite way to minister, right? But it got results because he obeyed the Holy Ghost. The point is this, he was led by the Holy Ghost and he got Holy Ghost results, amen? If Smith Wigglesworth was alive today and ministering like that, he'd probably be in jail. He would probably be shunned from churches. He wouldn't get any speaking engagements. And he would get a ton of negative press. But he was getting people born again. He was getting them healed. And he was even raising the dead. Hello, somebody. He was operating and walking in kingdom authority. It will look strange to those who are not walking in kingdom authority. When you speak to objects, when you speak to the physical body, it's going to look strange. But, hey, who cares? I'm about my Father's business. So he got the revelation that is in the name of Jesus. Amen? My last one, and I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm done with you all. All right? Acts 4. I'm retiring until Wednesday, okay? That's it. I'm retiring from the ministry until Wednesday. All right. Acts 4. Yeah, that is a lie, I guess. All right. I love it here. I love it here. I love working for the kingdom. I love Living Waters Chapel, and I love you all. Amen? Here we go. Acts 4. 29 through 31, and it simply says this. Well, first of all, I want to just share with you. Peter and John just got done healing a lame man, and they were rebuked, and they were threatened to be thrown in prison, and this is what happened when they got out. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they had assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Peter and John and all the others, when this happened, when they got rebuked, when they got threatened, it did not discourage them one bit. In fact, it made them even more determined to preach Jesus and advance the kingdom of God. A Christian that is walking in kingdom authority will never back down from their calling, will never back down from their mission on this earth to preach Jesus and advance the kingdom of God. That Christian understands that they're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. They're winning souls, they're gaining territory in the hearts of people, physical real estate even, for the kingdom of God. So the reign, the rulership of God will overtake evil, and Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father will be glorified. And as a kingdom-minded Christian, they understand that there is no such thing as a setback, it's a setup, amen, to advance the kingdom of God with authority in the name of Jesus. Church, it's time to fully commit to your calling, to your walk with God, and begin to operate in the gifts that he has given you. It's time to truly walk in the kingdom of God in your authority on this earth. Let's stand up in this place. Hallelujah. I know that was a long one today, but my goodness, it's needed. Prayer team, come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd rather you get a little attitude with me than walk out without that information. Hello. Now, maybe there's someone in here you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. If you need to do it, the word says today is the day of salvation. Today is different for each person. What does that mean? It means when you find out it's available, when you're feeling that draw from the Holy Spirit, today is that day. If you're in this place and you never made Jesus Lord of your life, come forward and pray with one of our prayer team members. If you're in this place, you want to commit to advancing the kingdom of God. You want to walk in kingdom authority like what I talked about today. You haven't been doing it, but today you're like, I'm gonna do this thing. I'm going to set my mind on that, and I'm going to do it. If you want to do that, I want to encourage you to come and get prayer this morning and tell them, say, I haven't been doing it, but I'm going to start today. Amen? Maybe there's someone here, you never received the Holy Spirit baptism. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. If you want to receive the Holy Spirit baptism, come on down, and they will pray with you and talk to you about that. You need prayer for anything else, they're available for you. Don't leave. If you need prayer, don't leave. It doesn't always have to be the same people. Hello, somebody. Take advantage. There's power in the prayer of agreement. Amen? All right, I love you all. Have a great holiday weekend, and we'll see you next week.